You've heard the word of the Lord, but it's been requested for those who are online just hearing the audio later to hear it again, Acts 9:36-42. In Joppa there was a disciple named Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was always doing good deeds and acts of charity. At that time she became sick and died, and after they had washed her, they laid her in an upstairs room. Since Lydda is near Joppa, when the disciples heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him and urged him, "Come to us without delay." Peter got up and went with them. When he arrived and they led him to the room upstairs, all the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing him the robes and clothing that Dorcas made while she was still with them. After Peter sent them all outside, he got up, got down on his knees, and prayed. Then he turned toward the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her stand up. After he called the saints and the widows, he presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. God's word, we pray. Lord, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. May our whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until your coming. You are faithful, O Lord. In you we hope. Amen. In the name of Jesus, the best friend of sinners, my dear fellow redeemed. On the way to a meeting, a fellow pastor asked, "Did I ever tell you about the day I died?" "No, but you've got my attention." "He'd had a heart attack. Cardiac arrest for several minutes. And woke up with the doctor leaning over and saying, 'Wow, we thought we'd lost you. Welcome back.'" So I had to ask, you know, is it like in the movies when the spirit is hovering over your body? Could you see the ambulance and everybody working on you? And he said, "No, nothing like that. It was the greatest sensation of peace that I've ever known. Freedom from this body. My spirit free, but so much at peace and with the Lord. Everything that we've learned about dying in the faith, dying in Jesus, is just so true." Good fruit from a heart attack. Go figure. What the Holy Spirit wants for us today, on Mother's Day, but for dads and singles, children and youth, is really a legacy of blessing in good fruit through life in Jesus. A legacy of blessing. Why does God do what God does? You ever find yourself somewhat frustrated with God? Read the Psalms. This is not new. Believers have felt this way with God down through the ages. "How long, O Lord, how long?" There's frustration there. Why? And why this? In Joppa, the disciple named Tabitha, Dorcas in Greek, was always doing good deeds and acts of charity. And at that time, she became sick and died. After they had washed her, they laid her in an upstairs room. Why? When it says she was always doing good deeds, it literally says she was full of good works, good deeds, not just the good ones that look good. But there's a special word for good in Greek. The word agatha, like Agatha Christie, comes from this. It means practical good, useful goodness, things that really help people, not just good wishes. And that's what Dorcas Tabitha was full of. Isn't that what Jesus was talking about in the gospel lesson last week from John chapter 15? I am the vine, you are the branches, right? Whoever remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. Well, if those branches could talk, they'd say, why are you cutting us all up? All this pruning that goes on, it hurts. Life as a Christian hurts. I don't always understand it either. But I pity those who are constantly questioning God. I pity those who think in their arrogance that they always have a better idea. Because it's way too easy to slip into those ruts where you feel like, what next? Take that to God in prayer. Take your troubles to God. Pour it out to him. He can take it. You got Elijah the prophet running for his life from Jezebel. Look at how angry he is. God can take it. Pour it out to God. He wants to hear it. Take it to Jesus. Because without Jesus, you can do nothing. Tabitha would have been the first to tell you, because believers knew this. They know it today too. Not one of those good works brought her any closer to God. I mean, you picture a mother with a baby at her breast. How much closer can the baby get? You are in the loving arms of God's grace, right next to his heart. He compares his love for you to a mother's love and says he loves you more. How can you get closer than the arms of our loving Savior Jesus, the only begotten Son of God? When you trust in him, yes, we're saved by grace through faith, but always for purpose. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 is followed by 10. Even I can do that math, right? Ephesians 2, 10. This is why you were created. You are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. He maps out our life so that things happen which require us then to step up, witness to the Lord's love and kindness. If you're in a situation right now where you wonder, why am I here? Could it be the answer that Esther got for such a time as this? Time to speak up when people are hurting, time to tell them why you have peace. Tabitha was a beautiful example. And maybe you wondered, because it's a good question, why does the Holy Spirit say here through Luke, they washed her and laid her in an upstairs room? Isn't that kind of gory details? Most of us have never had to take care of a dead body. But I'm amazed over and over again how the Holy Spirit knows exactly what's coming. He inspires his holy writers to put the details in, because the critics for hundreds of years now have been trying to tell us that the gospel accounts were written hundreds of years after Jesus lived and died, whoever he was. They just think he was a man, not God. Problem with that theory is thousands of fragments and copies of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are all over the Mediterranean world. They were widespread. They went to all the churches and Christians all over, and they made Christians all over the world within the lifespan of the people that were living. Now, this is important. That means that there were eyewitnesses who would be reading the Gospels, and if the Gospels were just made-up stories, fiction, like modern novels, then the eyewitnesses could say, no, it didn't happen that way. Instead, you've got all these witnesses, like the 500 in 1 Corinthians 15, all saw Jesus alive at once. They're still alive when the writings were taking place. The fact that they washed her also heads off what probably would be the first argument, right? The critics would say she wasn't dead. I beg to differ. They couldn't have washed her. She would have woke up. She would not. I'm not dead, she would have said, right? But they washed her and laid her in an upstairs room. These are eyewitnesses. We can trust the scriptures. This really happened. The novels that we're so used to today that try to make fiction look like real, as the 1800s, it's not ancients. They made it very clear what was myth and what was legend. This was story, reality. And since Lydda was near Joppa, if you fly into Israel today, you go through the Tel Aviv airport, it's within sight of Joppa and Lydda close by there. You pass it on the highway. When the disciples heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him who urged him, "Come to us without delay." Don't you like that? Two brothers went. All throughout Scripture, you have this wonderful relationship with brothers in the faith, with their sisters in the faith. One of our churches was having a picnic in a public park. I don't know where this was. I think it was down south someplace. I just heard the story. And some lady got all excited and came over and asked, "Could I speak to the pastor?" You know, they thought that maybe there was a problem. And she said to the pastor, "I just can't believe how much fun your people have together. In our church, the women go over there and the men go over there and they're just having fun together." And we've had that experience at New Life too. The love of brothers and sisters in Christ, the purest, simplest love, it's a wonderful blessing. Traveling with single women in China, sisters in the faith, I was so impressed how they kept on asking me about my wife and my daughters. I wanted to hear that. I wanted to think about my wife and my daughters. But it was just wonderful to be with fellow believers like that. And so two brothers went. They're urging Peter to come. And don't you have to ask, of all people, why Peter? I mean, isn't this the disciple who, I'll never deny you. But he did. Before the rooster crowed twice, remember that? What's this about? It's about you and me. It's about the next time you feel so guilty and unworthy because of something you said or did or left undone, unsaid. Then think of Peter and how Jesus reinstated him in John 21. "Feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my sheep." Peter stayed in God's good graces because when Jesus turned and looked at him, he went out and wept bitterly. He didn't make excuses, didn't blame God. "Why did you put me in this situation? What's coming next?" None of that. In his repentance, the Lord loves to take the broken heart and heal it. The sacrifices of God are a broken heart. A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. That was Peter. And he's asked to come back because the Lord has a plan. And Peter was forgiven. And the Lord says not just that he's giving people second chances. He's not just a God of second chances. In Revelation 21, it says, "Behold, I'm making everything new." He's the God of restoration. And that day is coming to make everything new. So do you ever have people tell you it's too late for God? Listening to a family marriage counselor, I don't remember numbers very well, but if I remember correctly, in checking with Christians who had gone to family marriage counselors, only 38% of them thought their counselor wanted to keep their marriage together. The rest were either just accepting divorce or counseling divorce. Isn't that amazing? Be careful who you go to. Be careful who your friends are. Why did Peter go? Had he heard? Did they tell him what was going on? Don't know. We do know Peter was there in Mark chapter 5. When the synagogue ruler named Jairus begged Jesus to come and heal his daughter who was about 12 years old. Remember what the household servants or family members said when they stopped him along the way and said, "It's too late. Your daughter is dead. Don't trouble the master." Too late for God, really? Jesus told Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just believe." And Peter was one with James and John who got to go in and see with the family, as Jesus put all the loud mourners out. He got to see Jesus take that little girl by the hand and say, "Talitha cum," little girl, I say to you, get up. And she comes back to life. And she ate with them. It's never too late for God. Or the servants of the Lord who worship God. Because when Peter got the call, he just went. Peter got up and went with them. And when he arrived, they led him into the room upstairs, and all the widows stood beside him weeping and showing him the robes and clothing that Dorcas made while she was still with them. You can do a search on widows in Scripture and you find the Lord is really into taking care of widows. He is so concerned, Old Testament, New Testament. Do you realize in Acts chapter 6, the first church council, or what we would call the Board for Lay Ministry, was elected to take care of widows, not to be neglected, to make sure they got from the church the help that they needed? It's one of those ways that love seeks knowledge that we are trying to do that at New Life too and have throughout our history. We've asked the elders in particular, who are responsible for each of the church families, to call the non-represented women, that would include singles, widows, and so forth, and ask them before voters' meetings, are there things that we should be talking about, concerns that I should bring up? It's representative. That's love that seeks knowledge. That's proactive. That's really more in keeping with what we have here and the spirit with which Peter went. He's going in the Holy Spirit of the merciful and faithful high priest. And he's got work to do that nobody else but God could do, as he chooses to do it through his apostle. The legacy of blessing would be followed by the legacy eternal. After Peter sent them all out, outside, he got down on his knees and prayed. Luke in particular likes to echo Psalm 109, where I believe the Messiah, Jesus, is speaking 1,000 years before he was born of the Virgin Mary. He says, I am a man of prayer. Jesus was. And Luke records Jesus praying all night before he chose the 12 apostles. And so here in what has been called Luke 2, the book of Acts, he got down on his knees. Is that a big deal? And prayed. I love this old story about two pastors' wives back when they all mended clothing by hand. And they're sitting there talking, and one is just going on and on about all the problems that her husband is having in their parish. The other one just listening quietly. Finally, the one that was complaining said, well, how come you guys don't seem to have too many problems in your congregation? And the other woman answered her sister in the faith very kindly. She said, maybe it's no more complicated than what we're mending here. We're both mending our husband's trousers, as they called them. But you're mending your husband's seat. I'm mending my husband's knees. Prayer is a powerful weapon. Prayer is powerful because of the God who makes the promises. And you and I, however you do that, whether on your knees or don't do that if you're driving the car, obviously, but you know, you can pray without ceasing at all times. And use it for your congregation too. There are so many times if I'm discouraged, I think, Lord, your people keep telling me, I'm praying for you, Pastor. Well, pray for each other. Pray for the people that don't know the Lord. Praise God and pray. And that's what Peter's doing. He's on his knees. He's wearing out his knees. He gets down on his knees and prays. And when he puts them out, the same Greek word is used here as when Jesus put the mourners out for Jairus' daughter. It's ekbalo. It literally means he threw them out. He's not angry. It's just that the work that the friend of sinners needs to do here needs to be in the quiet. Because so often God's powerful agape love comes to us in the quiet of our spirit. It comes sometimes so naturally that you don't even know the miracles are happening. There's miracles all around us. But quietly and softly, this will be done. So the mourners have to leave. He prays and he turns to the body, and he who restores is about to be doing the restoring. In Ecclesiastes, it says there's a time to weep and a time to laugh. There's a time to mourn and a time to dance. And the one who created us to serve him in joy and worship him in gladness and peace is about to turn weeping to laughter and mourning to dancing. Because Peter says, Tabitha, get up. And God's power that first created these bodies and breathed the spirit of life into them, so specially in God's creation, can also bring that spirit back to the body as he wills. Jesus raised people from the dead. He allowed his servants in the Old Testament at times to do it. He was doing it at this time in Mark chapter 16, it says, to confirm the gospel. So the miracles were happening. I think if it happened now, somebody would just deny it. You know, they just find more ways to excuse it and say it didn't happen. So he's not going to waste it on people either. But the day is coming, right? When the soul and body that have separated in death will come back together again on that day, when every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and every knee will bow before him, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Call it J-Day, Jesus Day, Judgment Day, but are you ready? For when the Lord of creation, your Redeemer and Sanctifier, calls you by name, you ready? Tabitha, get up. And she opened her eyes. When she saw Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her to stand up. Big deal. In our culture, even more so. Big deal. And I hope that the young men among us who may someday be interested in dating, I hope you'll look at the insight that God is giving us here as God-fearing men, because this is precious. He gave her his hand and helped her stand up. Years ago, a collegiate just reached out and helped a young woman step down off the bleachers. Not a big deal. It was a long step. She remembered that for decades. This is not rocket science, brothers, young and old. Treat her like a princess, like you believe Genesis chapter 2, where God made her from Adam's side. This precious treasure, which is the woman. This is how God teaches us to look at the bride of Christ, the church, with those eyes of agape love, which is unconditional and kind. And thank God that you know women, your moms in particular, who know what unconditional respect is, because we don't deserve it either. We're in that culture, sad as it is. A man just was holding a door for a woman. And she glared at him and said, "You're only doing that because I'm a woman." Quick as could be. I wish I was this fast. He just smiled and said, "No, it's because I'm a gentleman." This is God's way. Peter knew it. Maybe not even thinking about it here, but he gave her his hand, he helped her up, and then he called the saints and presented her to them alive. And this became known all throughout Joppa. Many believed in the Lord. It's good fruit from life in Jesus, a legacy of blessing and a legacy eternal. And you know it in your favorite psalm. Surely goodness and mercy will literally pursue me all the days of my life. And it'll finally catch up, because I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But it is also your legacy as sheep of the good shepherd to leave behind a blessing How will people remember you? What is the legacy of love that you're leaving behind? In Psalm 105, praise the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done. That's your life in Jesus. Giving thanks and praise, especially in the hard times, especially in the time when you know you're being tempted by Satan. Laugh in Satan's teeth, get behind me, Satan, and praise the Lord. And then pour it out to God. Call on the name of the Lord. And then make known among the nations what he has done. Because we are those nations here to praise the Lord. And Tabitha was still alive for a long time after this. And maybe even Jairus' daughter. Wouldn't that be something if they met on earth? Hey, how are you? I was raised by Jesus too. Oh, that's heaven. Hey, how are you? Forever with the Lord. Amen.